This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tig?
Cheryl.
Listen, it's a really fun episode to listen. This is our holiday episode.
Mm-hmm.
It will not disappoint.
And I think people will be relieved to know that we considered discussing the fruitcake fraud. Is that what it was called?
Yeah. We were going to watch fruitcake fraud again.
And talk about it all over again.
But then
in the way that fruitcake shows up every year. So is that documentary. And we might still do that one year.
Maybe next year, but not today. Yeah. Today we're doing something fresh and new.
Right.
It's a very topical in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Is that a word? That's a word.
Yeah.
So we're just going to get right into it because there's a lot. There's a lot. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Santa Camp.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. As I was mentioning before, Stephanie and I were out very late last night.
And you're trying to recover?
I am trying to recover. It sounds like I'm not hungover, but I just don't normally stay out that late. And I had a couple of drinks, and then, you know, you have kids that come in at 6 a.m.
They come in with so much energy, like, everybody ready? It's like,
yeah. And luckily, Stephanie's father spent the night last night because he's moved out.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed the night and I think he got up with them.
So nice.
But also Stephanie, she's really good about getting up.
She can power through.
Yeah.
And you're just
Whereas
crawling.
I was like,
ew,
boy.
It's so funny because I was with Rachel Harris last night. We live close to each other, so it was just like, just come over here. And she came over at like 6 and at 8:15, we were like, whoa. We had no idea what time it was. We were like, all right, I guess we should call it a night. We looked at the clock and it was 8:15. We're like, this is a Saturday night. We were like, what has happened to us?
We were on to our second party.
Wow.
At 8:15.
Impressive.
Our first party started at 5.
Yeah, that was probably I don't want to say older people, but see, that sounds like a reasonable time to start a party.
Well, it's funny
people that
you mention
have kids
it.
Or people that.
Yes, but also Stephanie and I have this group of friends that we meet up with, and I would say the median age is 75. And I'm serious.
Does it make you guys feel really young when you hang out with them?
I'm sure Stephanie, she's 15 years younger than me, so especially young. But they're just such a great group, and they're so fun. And
you just like start a little earlier and end it a little earlier. It's like, great, I'll do it.
5 o'clock, and then moved on to the next beat of the evening.
That was your downfall.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
here I am.
Here you are. I'm very proud of you. It's the season.
Proud of me for going out?
I am proud of you for going out to two parties in one night, which is very exciting. But also for just showing up. That's 95% of
That is that saying? What people say?
Isn't that the
is
saying?
Is it 95?
Is it, what is the saying,
what is
Thomas?
The percentage?
It's 90.
There's no way to know.
Showing up is 95% of it. That doesn't sound like a good slogan.
But it's true.
Success.
I've noticed
is
that.
It, are they talking about success?
I don't know what it is. I'm sure success in a relationship, success in career, whatever, if you show up.
Yeah, because you don't want to. Most days you don't want
to. You don't want to show up to work or relationships? Well, that's an interesting insight.
When you first wake up in the morning, are you just like, I would just rather cocoon it right here all day and not see a soul?
Okay. But I do agree. Showing up
is 95%. Or am I thinking of when they're talking about
something else?
Film casting is 95%. What, Thomas, do you know?
Were you up all night?
Not at all. Although I do have a hard time going to sleep at night.
It says that Woody Allen once said that 80% of success in life is just showing up.
Cheryl, way to quote.
I love quoting Woody Allen at every turn. Just to get us off on a good start.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Woody.
I mean, in that case, I do think he's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, crickets.
I would say, just to put it out there, I would say in most other ways, I think he's wrong.
Okay, that's fair. I hear you. okay, shall we just jump in?
Mm-hmm.
Today's a very exciting episode because we're really in the holiday spirit. Last year we did the fruitcake.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kicked it off in the holiday spirit by party hopping all night.
You did.
Yeah.
So you're bringing that with you as a flavor for today's episode.
I didn't go to bed at 9. Fa la 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 la.
Santa Camp, this is about Santa Camp, is a 2022 documentary directed by Nick Sweeney. The documentary explores the topic of diversity in Santa Claus, featuring footage from the New England Santa Society's Santa Camp Training School. Santa Camp is available to watch on HBO Max. Well, well, well.
Had you heard of this before? Not
at
all. Presented to us?
Okay. Not at all. Had
you heard of Santa Camp?
No.
Okay.
Had you?
No. No. Uh-uh.
I mean, once again, it's like a group of people that find each other. To do something weird.
I would say a group of people that are jolly looking.
Yes. Yes. Right.
The dress
like, is
Santa.
You know when you go to audition for something and you walk into a room and it's like, huh, there are 6 people that look exactly like me. And then one that looks really different, like thrown in for good measure.
Yeah.
That's how this Santa Camp, it was just like a bunch of predominantly older, white, is it fair to say chubby? Does anybody want to be called chubby? Let's say hefty?
I kind of was using jolly.
Oh, I see. Oh, you were using jolly just to sort of paint the picture of
what you think Santa might look like.
I mean, we're not hurting anybody's feelings. However...
How do you know we're not? I feel like we probably do from time to time.
Well, if somebody's jolly and they're like, how dare they describe...
If somebody's jolly? So now like you're just taking that on as... That's how you describe...
They like to describe themselves as jolly and now you just tainted it with a belly roll. I found this documentary very interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
And it was a really good time to reflect on what the hell are we doing with the whole, what have we been doing with the whole idea of Santa? And why do we bring little kids who are terrified of a man dressed up? And then we ask the kids to sit on his lap. And that's, a lot of it's weird.
Oh, yeah. The child screaming and
the child screaming. And it's like, just do it.
Child.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
Where's the joy?
We've created a look of a person
mm.
that children are terrified by.
Yeah.
And we've stuck with it.
We've stuck with it.
You know what? Coke already really ran with this.
They were saying that back in the day, I don't know what year it was. I will say the 50s. It could be off.
Before Christ.
Before Christ in 1950 BC. That Coca-Cola did an ad with Santa. And it was an older, white,
jolly
guy that was jolly with the beard and a mustache and the long white hair drinking a Coke.
Yeah. That became what Santa looks like.
Which is interesting because it is what happened before that Coke commercial?
I feel like Santa looked a little more like a man like a that guy. Lived in the woods.
Oh.
You know, looked a little more...
Sasquatchy?
No, like a lumber. What am I thinking?
Like how David Letterman looks now?
Maybe.
Like a guy that just let his beard go long.
No, and... I feel like David Letterman looks a little Coca-Cola Santa now. And if I could give him any advice, I would say...
You should, because you know he's listening.
Yeah.
Hey,
David, hey.
David, hey.
I would shave the beard.
I know. I wish he'd shave
a lumberjack
beard.
Is what? Not like a muscular
Why
lumberjack?
Why won't he shave the beard?
Well, I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know.
He must love it.
Clearly,
he loves it. Okay. Anyway, this is not an intervention for David Letterman's beard. We're just saying it's a hard look to pull off a long white beard.
I haven't heard anybody say Dave looks so much better with that beard.
Yeah, no, nobody has said it, but I think he doesn't give a flying fuckerball.
I know.
I know he does not care.
I can't imagine he would care about a thing that came out of my mouth. And I'm sure he probably has some notes on my look.
Maybe he has a podcast and he's already given you notes and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
What if he does have a podcast and that's all he does is comments on people's looks?
Mine specifically.
Yours especially.
So I'm saying I feel like Santa maybe looked a little, not like a lumberjack that's like fit, but just a little more scrappy, you know, just an old man in the woods with a long white beard.
Like an ill-fitting suit, not necessarily... A giant.
Jolly.
You really don't want to say... Can you say husky? Is husky...
Husky. Santa's husky. Husky.
Do people mind husky?
We will find out. The only way to find out is to put this out into the universe and then get backlash.
And see what happens.
Saying Santa is husky.
Right. And by the way, I did see that one of our listeners... Remember when we were talking about prostitutes?
Oh, yeah.
A person did say that we should call them sex workers.
That's what I said on the podcast.
I guess I'm saying that you're right, even though I don't want to say that, but...
Do you want to wrestle?
I could definitely take you today. I'm sure of it.
You could take me any day.
And that's so sad because I'm... Granny? Okay, listen. Let's get back on to Santa. Get back on Santa's lap here. A group of guys from the New England Santa Society, you know, in this, they're sitting at a picnic table and they're having lunch and they're sharing their Santa stories and, you know, what are hilarious things that happen. And then they are talking about, too, that, you know, their whole group is white at that point.
Yeah.
Their group was white, and they were all around 65 years old, and...
That's like the group I socialize with.
And then they discuss diversifying their group and bringing on some new Santas. And, I mean, first of all, the Santa camp is like... It's like sleepaway camp...
For Santas.
For Santas. And... Mrs. Claus. And a few elves sprinkled in. I honestly only saw one elf.
Wasn't there some reindeer?
I'm going to say yes. I'm not sure exactly where the reindeer was.
I saw some deer-like creatures. with antlers.
Yes, there were, yes. I mean, there's no guideline to what happens in Santa Camp or how much people should pay for it. Uh-huh. So do you want to hear a conversation between Santa and Mrs. Claus debating over their pricing?
We have to take a break.
Come on. We were just about to... So after we come back?
Yeah, after we come back. We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Santa Camp.
Tis the season. Santa Camp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story, talking about Santa Camp.
Okay, and now we're going to hear Santa and Mrs. Claus have a discussion.
This is actual Santa and actual Mrs. Claus, so pretty exciting.
Why doesn't she have a first name?
She does.
I have heard Santa ask for the pricing schedule, and it'd be $100 for me and Mrs. Claus. And they said, well, you know, that's a little steep. How about if Mrs. Claus doesn't come? And he says, then it'll be $150.
Thank you. That's a good point. We have another idea to that. Let's say I want to get a dollar for a visit. So rather than charging 50 cents for Santa and 50 cents for Mrs. Claus, I say, Santa is 75 cents, and Mrs. Claus, you can add her in for a quarter.
So just imagine a bunch of people sitting in a room dressed like Santa and Mrs. Claus having this debate. At some point, you're like, I don't know what I'm watching.
You were watching Santa Camp.
I really did not get a clear idea of what Santa and Mrs. Claus gets paid. But also, it's none of my business.
Well, none of this is really any of our business. But, you know, somebody did say that they'll make, what, $1,000 or $200 an hour, $1,000 a day? I don't remember. I crunched the numbers in the moment. But it seems like if you're making that kind of cash and you just worked your belly off through the season.
It's a pretty good gig. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are retired and then this is just their passion. Yeah. Remember, it's like the Halloween thing. The guy that worked on the Halloween thing, his haunted house all year, and then really
so
came to life.
To see people's passions.
It
like,
is.
This is such a specific passion.
It's so specific. So when the Mall of America, which is the biggest mall in America.
Yeah, it did and might still have a comedy club there. I've performed there.
Are you serious?
Yes. I have performed there numerous times.
People go to the mall to watch stand-up comedy?
Yes.
I wasn't like next to, you know, chicks on a stick.
Jamba Juice, basically. I don't know.
Were you like telling jokes and then walk over and get a Jamba Juice?
Which, by the way, Jamba Juice does not sell juice.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's... We're not here...
smoothies.
It's not an expose. Yeah, smoothies, right. They don't really have juice. Or do they?
They don't have juice.
They don't have juice.
They don't have juice.
Hmm. Well, that seems a little misleading.
Yeah, great plan, Jamba.
So when they hired a Black Santa, there was a lot of backlash and racist comments. Mm-hmm. And angry people boycotted the mall. Fox News publicly ridiculed the decision to have a Santa who's Black. And then they show a little clip of Megyn Kelly, uh-huh. who was like, well, everybody knows Santa's white. You know, it's like, well.
Yeah, also, Santa's not real.
Well, don't. Listen, if you have kids don't listening. Blow. Well, if you have kids listening, we've already said fucker balls, so that's on you.
Wait, in this episode you did?
Yeah.
When?
I said, what, the fucker balls or something? Oh, don't give okay. a fucker ball? Doesn't matter.
I didn't hear you say it. And
you don't listen to most things I say.
No, of course not. But if your child is listening, then, you know, here comes a spoiler alert. Santa is not real.
Oh, no. Right. So then for someone to say, well, everyone knows Santa.
Santa's white.
It's like.
Then you go, well.
Well, do you know that Santa's not real?
Well, it also reminds me of when people say that Jesus is white. And then, you know, you see Black families that have a Black Jesus on mm-hmm. their wall.
Right. Unless we see a birth certificate. And by the way, we don't need to see any. Doesn't matter.
You're saying we don't need to see Santa's birth certificate, Cheryl? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I would like to see that. And Jesus's.
I'm saying I don't need to see it.
I don't. I am. What this documentary reminded me of is that why do people care? Like, why?
Why do they care
I
what somebody
up
else?
At a mall and there was a Black know. Santa or a trans Santa.
Right. What?
Like, who cares? Right. I would just be like, oh my God, this is awesome. There's a Black Santa.
Right.
It would be so fun and exciting.
It's weird that people spend so much time and effort yeah. just so worried about other people. So in this documentary, even one of the, can I say old timers? Is old timer sure. a bad derogatory?
We will see. We will see.
One of the old timers.
Husky old timer.
From Santa Camp. Someone writes it and says, I consider myself an old timer and I do not appreciate you using the word that way. What did the old timer say? It points out and says St. Nicholas was from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't even white. Yeah. But then also, was there really a St. Nicholas? Or I don't know. I get confused.
Clearly.
Are we saying that there definitely was a saint?
Whether there really was a Santa Claus? Or
a St. Nicholas?
Yeah. Or Kris Kringle.
Right. By the way, Kris Kringle never came up in this documentary.
No.
That also confused me. Because I'm like, yeah. What is Kris? Who is Kris Kringle?
A bunch of nonsense.
Is Kris
it's
Kringle
a bunch
like
of holiday nonsense that you can embrace?
Or you can not worry yeah. about.
You can go, okay, it's Santa, it's St. Nicholas, it's Kris Kringle, they're Black, they're trans, they're the Coke white Santa. Grab your Santa and go.
It's a lot of lying. That's. I mean, I really couldn't believe it when I found out Santa wasn't real because I was like.
Wait, did you find out in this doc?
when I watched it last night, I was like, what?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah, I'm sure Dr. Becky Hines told me. I'm sure she couldn't wait to tell me to spoil my childhood. But I was like, that can't be true because why would all the grown-ups be lying all together, uh-huh. like all of them?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that's exactly what's been happening for your whole life up until now.
And it's dumbass. Like,
it's like, that can't be true. I had to go ask my mom if it was true.
And she said it's all a lie.
Some about the spirit of Christmas.
Well, it's funny because I was on to things before my older brother was.
Oh.
And I mean, my mother and my stepfather did not go out of their way to hide the presents. They were just in their closet.
Uh-huh.
And so I found them, and then there were little tags that said, from Santa. And I went and caught my brother, and I told him, I was like, there's no Santa.
Oh.
And he was like,
oh, no.
He was like, that's not true.
Oh.
And I was like, no, it is. There's no Santa. He was like, don't say that.
Oh.
And I brought him into the
room. Oh, you were like, I've got proof.
Yeah, I got proof. And then after that, my mother and Rick started putting our presents at our next door neighbor's house, hiding them over there.
And were you like, it's too late, you guys? We know.
Well, I was a little, I remember feeling like, wait, where are the presents? Because I looked in their closet again.
Oh, and there was next nothing. Year.
Yeah.
Ah. And then they said, well, because you don't believe, you're not getting presents.
I don't remember what they said, but
but it, wasn't it weird when you found out and you were like,
yeah, it is weird. And I struggle with that as a parent.
I do too. Like, and when Dr. Becky and I had kids, we were like, we're not doing the Santa thing. And it's also, yeah, we felt like it's not fair to kids that don't get presents from Santa. Not everybody can afford to give presents from Santa. You know what I mean? It's not fair, and it's a weird lie. And we were like, we are not doing it.
Cut to.
We did it.
I know. Stephanie and I had the same conversation, but then it was like, Christmas is really Stephanie's favorite holiday.
Aww.
And I kind of had gotten a little bah humbuggy over the years.
Yeah.
And then when I got together with her, I was like, okay,
I'll get in the spirit.
And now I'm full blown with her on it.
And it's hard with kids because they're excited about Santa.
Yeah.
And they're excited from the outside world, not.
And everybody lives through it when they find out there's no Santa.
They live through it. It just seems like it's got to be a better way.
But the fun and the spirit of it all, I think, outweighs the, like, wait, there's no Santa? Because I think they get, like, a slow realization through school. You know, there's kind of, it eases them in because other kids start talking about how there's no Santa.
Well, then it really puts parents in a bind. When it's like, yeah, Sally said there's no Santa, and it's like, you boosh. Well, I mean, Santa's what you think Christmas is about.
Santa's in your heart.
Santa's in your heart. Okay.
There's a husky old timer in your heart. There's, you have to take a break.
Oh, for balls. Okay. And then when we come back, I'm going to let you know what happens in this documentary.
Oh, okay. Okay. We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story discussing Santa Camp.
Santa Camp.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story, talking about Santa Camp and how everyone needs to relax about Santa.
Yes, yes. So now there's a guy named Chris who lives in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he put up a, you know, everybody does the inflatable Santa Claus and, you know, bullshniz in their front yard. Well, he had a black Santa blow up.
Yeah.
And,
well, he's black.
And, yes, and he's black. And he got a hateful letter in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Chris talks about all of it, he says that they're in a predominantly white neighborhood. Yeah. And just having a black Santa in their yard really bothered
the neighbor. Yeah.
And his neighbor flies a Confederate flag in their yard.
Yeah. So they're coming from really different places.
Yeah. And it's cute because Chris is a younger guy. He's not.
I loved him.
I loved him.
I loved his wife.
Yes,
I loved his daughter.
His daughter
I loved
is
the
so
vibe
cute.
In his house.
I
couldn't even deal.
And he decided he wanted to channel his anger into something positive. So he rented a Santa costume and dressed up for his daughter. And then he decided, you know what? I'm going to go to Santa Camp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Santa Camp. I'm going to be a black Santa. So people in other communities can feel included.
Completely reasonable.
Completely
like you
reasonable.
You sit there and you look at his family, his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, why?
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 Why does it matter?
Why?
To someone else, if their Santa's black, why does
Go
it?
Go find your white Santa or turkey.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it, a turkey Santa?
I don't know that anybody would call it a turkey Santa. A Turkish.
Turkish.
A Turkish Santa.
Turkish is what I meant. I told you I was up all night. Not a turkey Santa.
A turkey Santa. But just let it stay.
Let it roll.
Stay in your own lane.
Let people.
Let them
celebrate.
He's not a real person.
And it's not a threat. What somebody is. That is not. That doesn't encroach on anything.
It's his front yard. Relax. And then this one is the storyline that like really got me. So there's also a guy named Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how old is Finn? 23?
I thought he was like 30.
He's somewhere between 23 and 30.
Yeah. We're not mathematicians.
But he was he's a very cute guy. His name is Finn and he has spina bifida and he's non-speaking.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, a lot of times he speaks through his iPad so he can touch words or pictures. Or
he can do a really solid ho-ho-ho, though.
Yes, he can do ho-ho-ho. And he is very enchanted with Santa Claus. And his dream is to be Santa Claus, and especially to be Santa Claus in a Christmas parade.
Yeah.
Which, when I first heard that, I thought, that doesn't sound too difficult. And then when you, and his mom, oh my gosh, how much do you love his mom?
Yeah.
His mom, you know, is calling all of these parades saying, can my son be Santa? But, you know, what you find out is, first of all, and I never thought of it before, but there's only one Santa Claus in Christmas parades.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that role is already taken.
Yeah.
And whoever's doing it, they love to do it every year and they're not stepping down.
Yeah.
So that was hard. But then the mom found out about Santa Camp and she's like, then I'll take Finn to Santa Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Which also meant that she had to go to Santa Camp. So Finn is very excited about dressing up like Santa every day. And now the mom is like, did she dress up as an elf or as Mrs. Claus?
I thought she was Mrs. Claus.
You can tell that wasn't her passion.
Well, it's interesting because in the film, she talks about how this is his passion and has been his whole life. And she said, and then therefore it's become my passion. And it is so, it's the epitome of parenting.
It really is, yeah.
Of like,
taking
I can
on
rattle
your,
off yeah, yeah I can rattle off baseball players' names on the Dodgers. that wasn't my world. No. Where I would know something like that.
But now it is, and you love it because they love it.
Yeah, it's so cute. And watching their story again makes you feel like, just like Chris's family and the representation there.
Yeah.
And making dreams come true for your life, your family. Same with Finn.
Right.
It's like, why are people trying to get in the way of that?
Right. Right.
Because you're so hung up on the Coca-Cola Santa.
It goes
Go
back to Coke
down.
And Pepsi. They've really
Go
caused problems.
Sit down. Yeah. Get a real problem. Get a real problem in life before I hear any of this ever again.
I don't think the snork bowls are the problem. We're preaching to the choir, as they say.
Okay, well.
And then there's also Levi. He's trans and wants to be a Santa for the LGBTQ community. And his mm-hmm. wife, Heidi, is very supportive and goes with him and dresses up as Mrs. Claus.
Although is Dr. Claus.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell him about that part, because that was so fun.
Well, just that she got her PhD, right? And
yeah.
She identifies as a doctor, and she's not going to be...
You want to hear Heidi talking to at the Mrs. Claus meeting?
Sure.
Yeah.
My view is Mrs. Claus is Santa's wife. When he's not there, she's in charge. She takes care of him like any good wife, you know?
I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Claus. Like, I am not the wife. Like, I have my PhD. You're not going to call me Mrs. Claus. I'm Dr. Claus. My spouse is trans and I'm queer. Like, actually, when we come together, I really want to not bring up the fact that we're married and instead really emphasize, like, Santa's got a job and I've got a job and we work together and really make that space for folks.
That was inspiring, you know, when they clapped and one of the Mrs. Claus does not want to wear a dress. She wants to wear pants.
That's where I would be.
Yeah.
I'd be in my
tube top.
My Mrs. Claus overalls.
Oh,
overalls. Coveralls.
Tube top and Daisy Dukes. When I think of you, Tig, that's how I think of you.
Well, at least you're thinking of me.
Mm-hmm. But that was very sweet. I liked that moment, and I thought that the Mrs. Clauses were very accepting, and, you know, mm-hmm. they liked the idea. And there was a tense scene with Mrs. Claus, and it seemed like a rando Santa. It did not seem like one of the guys from the film. Mm-hmm. But they were...
Rando Santa.
But they were at a ice hockey game, I guess. And they were going to ride the Zambonis. And Santa was very upset that Mrs. Claus, what did she want, like equal time on the ice or something? And he was like, we're not doing this right now. This is not what Christmas is about. I'm Santa. And then he
And I'm a good time. I'm fun.
I'm fun. And then the crowd was loving Mrs. Claus. And then they show... the Zamboni that had the Santa on leave early. It's like, I don't know, you just, if you're the people in the stands, you're probably not at all thinking about what the dynamic is between Mrs. and Mr. Claus. But I love that that's what's going on backstage.
Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Mr. Oh, God.
Just a really quick.
Yeah.
Calling him a rando Santa.
Yeah.
My sons are so into using the word random right now.
They are.
And yes, like we'll be driving along and one of them, like Finn, will just be like, look at that just random van sitting there parked. Look, Max, look at that random van. And Max is like, oh, yeah. I wonder what that's doing. I don't know. It's random.
I wonder where they learned the word. But I like that they're very excited to use it all the time.
Oh, my. It's overused in our house. Everything is random.
It's so random.
I don't want just like a random dinner tonight.
I don't want a random dinner.
Well, I don't want to wear these are just random shorts. It's endless. Everything is so random.
It's so random. It's like,
yeah, you just randomly got that from my dresser. Well, but I was trying to match it with your shirt.
It's not that random.
It's not that random.
The thing about this documentary that I thought was very sweet is the people at Santa Camp seemed pretty excited.
Down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To like include Levi and Finn and Chris.
Well, that's what I was saying in the beginning is they might not have done it
right
perfectly. I think that's the necessary growth spurt is
right.
That you open the door and you're going to hit some bumps. But it felt like based on the edit of this documentary.
Yeah.
That they were attempting.
Yeah.
And succeeding in many different ways. I thought so many of them seemed very open and into the discussion and trying to make changes.
And and the discussion seemed to be, well, I've never even thought that Santa was anything other than an old white guy.
Well, and that's the other thing is it goes back to if there's not really much in your life that is challenging inclusivity,
mm-hmm.
You might look at these different points of view and be like, just make it the white Santa that Coke, like this is all right. Ridiculous or,
right.
You know,
this is how everyone does it. It's like, maybe everyone in your tiny circle does it that way. And I hear you and I understand.
Or
that.
Maybe even people in your huge circle.
Yeah.
However big your circle is.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that other people's needs or the representation that comes with their existence is nothing or insignificant.
Right.
Or,
just because it's not, doesn't intersect your circle. And I thought the old timers did a pretty good job of it. I mean, there was a sweet white guy who said to Chris, you know, we've never had a black Santa at Santa Camp before. And I just want to make sure, you know, I'm saying the right thing and I'm not. And then he kind of stopped himself and he said, now I feel like even saying that I've said the wrong thing because why would it be different? All right, I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah.
And it was sweet because he was making an attempt and he's, you know, it was genuine. It was like.
But then he caught himself.
But then he caught himself.
God.
He's like,
he could hear himself.
Yeah, good.
And then you could see. Chris just kind of like, oh God, just another day in the life.
I know.
You know, the one guy making an attempt and doing it terribly. and then Chris who's sitting there going, can anyone just be normal? Can anyone just be normal?
You don't have to be the black guy at Santa Camp. I can just be the guy.
Yes.
But it was very sweet because then at one point you see all the Santas around the campfire, which seemed like it was kind of a cute, odd moment. But I guess that's what you do at Santa Camp. They all sort of sit around the fire and share their thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And Chris got up and read the letter, that hateful letter.
Yeah.
And they seemed, the other guys there seemed, you saw some wiping tears away from their eyes.
Well, it feels like one of those examples of you can hear or see on this documentary or any time in life that people are discriminated against or treated so despicably.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have a moment like that where Chris is reading the hateful words.
Yeah, and you see the one person being affected by it. It's not just a group that you never see, you never think about. It's a person with feelings, and they're saying, this is...
Yeah.
And you see how painful it is.
Yeah. This is a person in the world who deserves to have a good and happy, safe life, just like you're living.
Yeah.
And so does his wife, and so does his daughter, and so does his community.
Yeah.
And your existence and your way is not more important and above anybody else's.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, go find your Coca-Cola Santa elsewhere.
Yeah. So he threw the letter in the fire, and they all cheered. And he said, I'm coming back next year, and I'm bringing my wife. His poor wife is like, you boy. Why are you dragging me to Santa Cana?
Yeah, he's like, here's the good news, and I'm coming back with my wife. She's like, oh, God. Let me check my calendar.
You know what? I'm busy. Whatever month that's happening in. And then I love this part of the story. Chris goes back to his community, and now it is Christmas time because Santa Camp happens. It doesn't happen that close to Christmas because, you know, that's crunch time. Mm-hmm. So they do it early when they have time to really think it through. Mm-hmm. But he comes back to Little Rock and decides, I'm going to make even more Black Christmas characters. Mm-hmm. And he finds a local artist. But was it so great when the Christmas decorations went up and a lot of the white neighbors put up Black Santas in their front yard? I was like, oh, my God.
It's incredible.
It was so great. It was so great. It was really beautiful.
I know.
And then on a less joyful note, Levi, the trans Santa, they decide they're going to have a trans Santa event. And Pastor Andy is coordinating this event. And now they're starting to feel people heating up over the idea of a trans Santa.
Well, yeah, there were the conservative Christian people that showed up, you know, calling them trannies and just spewing hatefulness in the name of the Lord.
And protesters that called themselves Proud Boys showed up and accused them of being perverted and evil and destroying Santa. And it was sad. It was really so sad. However, you did get to see Levi and Heidi as Santa and Dr. Claus. And there were kids that were going in and sitting.
Well, it was really interesting, the moment with Levi, where Levi got emotional saying, you know, that there wasn't that representation growing up. And and it's such a, it's one of those moments for, I had for myself where I was thinking like, gosh, that's it. That's just so not in my world, you know, just not being trans.
Right.
And then thinking there was a kid, a trans kid that wanted to be Santa.
Right.
Wouldn't, it's so.
Like it just like, wouldn't cross probably, your mind.
No. And it probably narrows down to three people on earth that ever had that experience.
Right.
Not really. But, you know, it's like to want to be Santa is very few people.
Yeah. That's a
on
handful
the
of people that are so passionate
about. And then to be
about,
trans.
Yeah, then that narrows it down
is
even more.
Fewer. And then trans people that want to be Santa, that Santa camp is probably very tiny. But no less important.
Exactly. No less important.
And to, like I said, I would bring my kids to Coke Santa, Black Santa, Spina Bifida Santa. Yeah. And trans Santa. I just can't imagine how that would
take
negatively
away from,
infect my family's life.
It's absurd. It is absurd. And then Finn, because his mom had called so, put out so many calls for a Christmas parade.
Again, epitome of a parent. Going to no end.
Yes. The amount of energy she puts into his life.
Yeah.
You know, listen, kids are a lot, and a kid with a special need or a different need is a lot. It is 24/7, and it's...
Yeah.
And this really hit me because, you know, my nephew Michael has cerebral palsy, and he's been in a wheelchair since, you know, he was two. And he's very passionate about some things that make him so happy. Like, he loves Mickey Mouse, even though he's 19, but loves Mickey Mouse. So when you see Finn in this documentary, who loves Santa Claus, and we find out that he gets to be Santa in a Christmas parade. I mean, and then you see the parade. And he's in a Santa outfit, and he's sitting in his sleigh that was also part of it. And he has his own elves by him.
I know.
And people were cheering for him. It was like, whoa. Oh my God. It was fantastic.
And again, why would anyone try and take that away from or not encourage this person who has this one shot to be alive on the planet?
Right.
Why would you take that away from them or say no? Why?
I know. And then winding it down, we also see Chris and his wife dress up as Santa and Mrs. Claus for their local Christmas event. And some families traveled over 300 miles to see
a black
Santa. And the parents had so much gratitude.
That white beard looked great on him.
He died. Oh, my God. So Chris dyed or bleached his beard white. Yeah. That's dedication.
Yeah, it looked so good.
It looked insane. It was like, if my husband just walked down the stairs with a bleached white beard, I'd be like, wait a second, I need a moment.
I thought it looked awesome.
He did. He looked fantastic. And then we see he's so cute, too, because he's got, like, his sunglasses on. And his suit looks great.
He had some style.
And then he rapped to Notorious B.I.G. What version of? He did a version of some Christmas carol.
There's no way to know.
Even though we watched it. And they're playing it right now. Anyway, it was really, really fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yes.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
No. I was touched. Did you cry?
I did. Oh, my God. I figured. I cried when the white people put black Santas on their lawn. I was so, it moved me. And then, of course, when Finn was in the parade, I was just like, oh, my God. I could not. I was like, I had to, like, take a moment to collect myself to get through it. Because I was like, oh, my God. I don't know if these people know how much it means to Finn.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing that people showed up and people were so excited.
And the way he expressed himself with his fist. His arm he would shake.
Yeah, because that's, you know, sign language for yes is when you have your fist. But he did sort of a wild one. His yeses were big and strong.
Yeah.
Oh, who were you attracted to? We're both going to say the same person. Let's do it on three.
Chris.
Why couldn't you wait
one,
till three?
Okay, one, two, three.
Chris.
You
could not wait. God dang it. Okay, it's time for True Story Talk Back.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to say to anybody in the documentary?
Yeah, the Proud Boys and Chris's neighbors and anybody. I think I already said it throughout the documentary, but to really, really, I know the snark bulls, I would say, are predominantly on our side with our viewpoints or support ours, even if they might be different. But I just the reminder that everybody has this one chance to be alive on the planet. And these people are not hurting you.
Yeah.
These people are trying to experience the level of joy and safety that you are.
Yeah.
And they're not hurting you.
Yeah.
They're not hurting your family. leave them alone.
Yeah.
Not just leave them alone. Find a way to celebrate them.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I would like to say to Finn's mom that you're amazing. And to all the parents out there, it's a hard job. But to watch her in this, it was really inspiring. And then Chris and his family, thank you for being so strong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody gets a hateful letter that tells you to move out of the neighborhood. That's hard to it's hard to take. It's hard to hear. And it's what you do about it that defines your character.
Well, I think everybody handled everything so inspiringly well.
Except the Santa on the Zamboni. Zamboni.
No way to know.
That guy. Oh, that guy.
That guy.
Hey, that guy. Hey, stop it. If you're listening.
Hey, that guy. Hey.
Stop it. Oh, God. Tig, that's all for this week's episode. We're going to take a break next week for the holidays. And then we'll be back on January 2nd to talk about Harry and Meghan on Netflix.
Yes, yes we will.
We're going to break it down. Okay, before we go, would you like to read some true fan mail?
Yes.
Okay, this is from Melissa. Hey, Melissa. Hey, Tig and Cheryl. Hey, I was so happy to hear that you both hate the word horny. I don't even like saying it when I'm reading this letter.
Horny?
I always thought it was a prude weirdo in my hatred of that word. I won't even call a horny toad a horny toad. I simply say a toad of some kind.
Toad of a certain age.
Love the show. It brings me so much joy to laugh, relate, question, and speculate alongside you. You two are so funny. Your dynamic is so endearing and sweet. But that said, I don't think you're a couple. Keep doing it again and again. I think because some of our listeners are like, oh, they think we're a couple?
A couple? We're both married.
I don't think
you're a couple.
And she said, sincerely, Melissa, a loyal snorkel.
Well, Melissa, for someone who hates the word horny, you sure used it a lot in that email. That's all I have to say.
She won't call a horny toad a horny toad. Oh, my God. Okay. This is from Tezra. Hey, Tezra.
Hey.
Hey, Cheryl and Tig. Hey. Oh, I like that Tezra says Cheryl and Tig instead of Tig and Cheryl. Just a quick note to let you know.
I'm going to tap out on this one.
Just a quick note to let you know that you've really made something special. How do I know it's special, you ask? Because when I listen to this podcast, my 14-year-old daughter actually turns her music off and takes out her earbuds to listen with me. Now that is something to brag about. Brag it out to the left.
Braggadocious alert!
The two of you have added many new phrases to our family lexicon. There's no way to know, and Scram Clown are used on the daily. We also now call our cat Tower Puss Down. My hubby shakes his head when we say, look, Meatball is going to Puss Down. And then laugh and laugh. Meatball is our cat, by the way. Ah, Meatball.
Meatball. Meatball. It's going to Puss Town.
That poor husband
so horny.
Is probably like, jeez, you guys. Thanks for making a show that my 14-year-old doesn't think is stupid. You're out here doing God's work, but not the God that Jer Bear and Becky worship.
Whoever they are.
Jer, you don't know who they are? Wait, who are they? They're from Thomas. Who are they from?
The Falwells.
Oh, the Falwells.
Should we make a t-shirt for our merchandise that says, I'm a horny snorkel?
I'm a horny snorkel.
Just horny snorkel.
Oh, God. I would not wear it. Would you wear it?
No.
Nobody's going to wear it.
People would wear it. Thomas would.
You guys, that was from Tezra and Olivia, the 14-year-old. Oh, God. That really makes me laugh because when I used to take my daughter to school, Kat, she'd get in the car in the morning and put in her earbuds. I was like, excuse me. I'm not, you know, your Uber driver. Like, it's only 10 minutes. Can you just, she'd be like, oh, okay. You know, and then I'm like, okay, now I know what I'm making her take her.
Yeah, now it's like, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Like, okay, my earbuds are out. What do you want to say? Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any new friends? I always force conversation on Max and Finn when they're like sitting down to eat or they're on the couch watching a show. And I'm like, so what happened at school today? And they're like, I don't know. And then just random stuff.
How's your sandwich? It's fine.
Fine. It tastes like it always does.
Oh, okay.
Can you leave me alone?
So yeah, you like
sorry
it?
To bother you.
Yeah, I guess I
just want to hold you is what I mean.
No, you have no idea.
I just want to hold you.
Kat, senior year, it was just like, let me just give you a quick hug goodbye.
She's clamp.
Like, she's like, oh, God. She's like, Mom, please, I have to go to school. Like, don't make it weird. It's like, I'm not making it weird. I'm just saying goodbye.
That's like when Max and Finn will come over and wake me up in my bed and I'll be like, oh, can I get a hug and kiss? And then I'm like, clamp. And then I'm like, will you just snuggle with me for a second?
Why is our mom so needy?
I know.
Like, don't go near her. She's so needy.
It's so horrifying because everything you hear starts to happen to you.
I know.
I'm making jokes that they think are dumb.
Yeah.
I'm like forcing a hug clamp where I'm like, please, just for one more second.
No, you know what? When I'm a driving Cat and I'm singing along to the radio to my favorite song, not bothering a soul in the world, I can see that she's videoing me and putting it on her Snapchat. And I'm like, you know what? You're ruining this Tom Jones song for me.
You're ruining this Paul Anka tune.
Really? It's taking me back. I was having a moment and now you ruined it. Put your ear paws back in. I don't care. Oh, my face hurts. Okay, that's it. That's it.
That's it.
Is there anything that you need to tell people?
Well, I have merchandise for sale on my website.
Okay.
And I think we have merchandise, our Tig and Cheryl True Story merchandise.
Yeah.
You know, the holidays are here.
The holidays are right? here.
I have a book. I'm just a person. I have albums. Wow. Get people these things. Why not?
Why not, huh? You guys?
Pick up a t-shirt that doesn't even exist that says Horny Snorkel. Tis the season.
And then post it for us. Then tag Tig and Cheryl True Story. And
if we do a live tour ever, yeah, you know people are going to show up with Horny Snorkel t-shirts.
That would make me so happy. All right. That's it, you guys. That's it. Have the best holiday. And we will see you. Or we won't see you.
No, but you'll be hearing from us in 2023.
Yes, 2023.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Stay safe and happy and jolly.
Should we do it again?
Yep, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at TigandCherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.